friends.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Olivia.
And we are Podcast by Proxy, Canadian True Crime.
Welcome. We're live.
That was a lot of energy compared to what I thought you were going to pump out there.
Mexico really took it out of me, guys.
I thought we were going to get a, we're live.
Very, very sick, but that is okay. We are here.
It's okay. I'll do all the talking today. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Katie's going to take this case today because, well, I cannot.
No. You could not and should not.
No.
Thank you all for your patience this week. We know this is late. Again, life just hit us this week. Things happen, things come up. We hope you understand, and thank you.
Yeah, honestly, Mexico, coming back from Mexico was so much harder on me than I thought it was going to be. Like, I go on trips. I've been on trips before. I usually come home, and I'm like...
When you come home from Hawaii, you are, like, glowing.
Yeah, I need, like, a day or two. This one just really hit me like a train.
A train is an understatement, I think, based on how you were sounding a minute ago.
But yes. You know what? It was a lot of fun. 30 people all together at a resort. We really took it over. And now I'm just paying the price of having too much fun.
Fair.
Is what it is.
Vacations are tough on you. And I think a lot of people feel that, like, you come home from a trip and you get sick. It's just the way it is. I think also, like, a quick change in climate is hard on your body. High elevation, like altitude, like all these things factor in and your body's just like boo, boo, boo.
Usually I'm fine, but this, I think also this was not relaxing. Like you think, oh, she's going to like a resort in Mexico. She must be so relaxed. No, she was not. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work because I was in a wedding for my cousin. Congratulations to them. It went really smoothly. It was awesome, but like there was no relaxing. It was just fun and... you know, all the other things that come with being in a wedding. I'm feeling it. It's almost a week later since I've been home and I'm still on the struggle bus.
Oh, shoot. You poor thing.
Anyways, such is life.
Like, do you feel a little better than when you came home or at the peak of this, or you're just riding this low?
I'm just riding the low at this point.
Okay.
I still have literally no energy. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I've never struggled this hard coming home from a vacation.
No, and I don't think I've heard you, like, this sick in a long time either.
Anyways, you know you had fun when?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Had the wrong mic. My computer didn't sync up, and I didn't notice. So, we're back. Just in case I sound different, because... she probably will. So Mexico killed you. I'm still recovering from the vid and still just feeling like shite. And that's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, even my mom the other day is like, that's where we're at. COVID. I'm like,
if you're wondering why our episode's late.
That makes me think of like a distance, like a length. It's like, is it COVID? Like,
that's okay.
It just. We couldn't have come up with a better name than long COVID. Like, even just, like, I don't know. It's just, like, you test negative, but the symptoms stick around, like, excessively.
What is long COVID? And
I've always had a crap immune system. I kind of expected
this. Is that just, like,
this.
COVID that lingers?
But I'm, like, just on the up and up from it. Like, I'm getting my brain back a little bit, and I'm not as foggy and tired from that, like...
All right, well, what do you got for us today? Because I don't have anything else to share. I've been making a lot of pico de gallo since I got home. I've just been eating tomatoes and onions because it's my favorite part about Mexico, and they really just couldn't keep it in stock. I couldn't, every time I was, like, going to the, like, you know, food thing at the beach, they were out of chips and pico, and I just was, you know, upset
How?
About it.
It's your signature dish.
Honestly. So I came home and, like, went to my local farmer's market and bought a shitload of produce, and I've just been making pico, which hopefully the raw onions and garlic in it will clear up whatever the hell this is. But
definitely.
Mentally, I'm still in Mexico. Physically, I'm
very much here in the cold.
Yeah. But no, I don't have much to share. I'm working on a case. My next case is a doozy, so prepare for that.
I wonder, otherwise, do you want to give, like, a little, like, teaser or hint about what your case is? Because we've never done that, and I don't know why. Okay.
No. It's just awful, so prepare for it. It's got, like, all of the trigger warnings that you could possibly think of.
Oh, God, is there kids involved?
Not, like, little kids.
Okay. That's like, better.
Teenagers.
Okay.
So, okay. I don't know if that's any better, but...
No, but I don't even know why I asked, because it wasn't going to be a great answer either.
I will say it's a lot different than a lot of cases we cover. I kind of stumbled across it when I was researching Holly Jones again, because it was the same investigator that was involved in that case, Steve Ryan. But it's dark. It's been not fun to research.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Considering,
and it's also going to be in Ontario, just like Katie's case today. Yeah, so we're just like riding it out in Ontario for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, before we recorded, I said, mine's like kind of crazy. I just stumbled across it too. Like this week, for once, we both picked our own cases and we just rolled with it, like mixing it up a little too. But I was like, where is yours? Is it Ontario? She's like, yep. I'm like, okay, we're going to pick on them for a few weeks again.
Look, their it's population our annual is tradition. Vast. It's vast. They've got a lot of people and a lot of things going on, so it's hard.
Totally. I think I think I said earlier, like, per capita, I think they deserve to get a few more episodes.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, well, we can get into this. We're, like, right at our 7-minute mark, weirdly, but I will give a trigger warning for this one for domestic abuse and partner-on-partner violence. I'm not going to go into, like, detail about it, but just know that when there's mention of it, it's quite excessive in some ways, but a lot of information was not available. This case takes place in Wilno, Ontario. It's, like, a super small town. They don't really have a ton of violence, and the village there is, like, when I look it up, it reminds me of, like, Whistler. Like, it's very similar. It was made by, like, the Slavic brothers, so based on the name, it also sounds like a very European name, so, like,
yes,
and I'm pretty sure Whistler was built by a European, like, family, so I wonder if it was the same ones, potentially, as she Googles it.
I immediately want to Google that, because
I literally put Whistler here and meant to go get that piece of information, and just, it slipped my mind, but it's Whistler type.
Okay.
And there's parts of the city that have, like, kind of, like, brick and stone and things like that that are very, like, similar, as well as, like, the tops of the buildings have similar shapes, things like that.
Okay.
In Wilno lived a man named Basil Barutsky. When he was young, he was known as a town bully, a school bully, and a lot of people around him were concerned about what he would become one day. Like, they had that gut feeling from the beginning and even said, like, we know he's going to just lose it one day and we don't want to be there to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So not the best description of him to begin with. In 1977, when he was 20 years old, he attacked a young woman and was charged with assault and bodily harm. But you will come to see that the justice system does not follow through with this gentleman over and over again. And unfortunately, there's very dire consequences to it. So nothing comes of the charges. They're dropped. Following these charges, he meets what will become his wife of 20 plus years, Marianne Mask. And this is, like, a very hot and cold relationship. They break up continually. They frequently go out of their way to hurt each other when they break up, things like that. It's quite a manipulative relationship from the sounds of it, predominantly his side. But Marianne has, copped up to being a factor in it when police come to help her.
Okay.
They have, like, significant lows where they just drink together and get extremely aggressive with each other too, whether it's verbal, physical, it just hits a low point when they're both drinking, and unfortunately I don't think that's that uncommon, No. Putting alcohol into any domestic situation is going to fuel a fire.
Mm-hmm.
In 1985, following having two kids at this point, Marianne is accused of assault, but no charges were laid against him because, again, he is just brought in front of the court and they go, not really worth it. It's a domestic situation, and unfortunately, it sounds like at the time, Marianne felt that a lot of domestic situations were like, okay, separate them for the night, go home, you guys figure it out now.
Yeah, which honestly, I don't think is even that uncommon today, unfortunately.
I don't think so either, especially as someone who had a mom who her part of her caseload was spousal assaults.
Mm-hmm.
So although she didn't go into detail about cases, she would explain like the injustices that she would see and stuff. So
it's like exactly what happened in the Gabby Petito case on the dash cam, right?
I did.
Side note, Netflix is coming out with a documentary on the Jennifer Pan case. Did you see that?
There's also a documentary on the Rena Virk case coming out.
Interesting. I just saw it and I was like, oh.
I know you, girl. Covered that case
twice.
I know you.
Two times. Yeah.
Anyway. And your dad is a hero.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see how they decide to do that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because it could be, like, impeccable because it is such a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it could be so well done if they do it right. And Netflix has that, like, je ne sais quoi to do documentaries. And I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. As long as the family and all parties involved consented of this program being made, I am there for it.
Yeah.
So the 1985 charges that Marianne presses against her husband at the time for assaulting her were dismissed. And he actually countersues her for, like, suing him to begin with or trying to charge him, like a defamation of character and a wrongful conviction. And he is awarded $20,000.
What?
So he's like, okay, they break up again. Pay me my money. I won. But they still get back together in the whole... It's crazy.
Yeah. Which, again, not uncommon.
Not uncommon, yeah. So as I said, that does not stop them, all this turmoil, and now there's this money involved and charges dropped and pressed and, oh God, it's a lot. They still decide to try and give it another go. And not once did I ever read that it was, like, for the kids. It just seems like this was just the cycle they were in, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So in 1989, they move to be closer to Basil's job. He is he works at Atomic Engineering, as a millwright. So because he's commuting quite far, they end up moving closer because he's the primary income anyway. However, in 1993, they split up again and there's another charge for assault pressed against him. We later come to find out that also in those charges, when more information comes out, is that he stalked her, he threatened her. And he would just generally be a constant presence over her shoulder in any way he could. Those charges dropped. In 94, though, Bruno's in a really bad car accident and actually can't take care of himself. So Marianne takes him back to, like, mend him and help him. Like, again, it's still her kid's dad. She needs him as well, so... She's helping him out. They end up having another child together at this time because clearly he's probably the husband she wants right now because she's catering to him and taking care of him. So now they have three kids and he's starting to get better, continues to abuse Marianne. It does not stop him. Again, this is a cycle. So the relationship's not working. All the charges are dropped, and so in December, he leaves her again. He's better, he's good, he can do what he wants now. This guy's such a dick. But, 1999, they are back together.
No.
And guess what they decide to do again?
Not have more children.
Have another child.
Hey.
Yes. Why do you keep bringing children into this dynamic?
I mean, it's possible that they don't have, like, as easy access to birth control as we have now because of the time period. But, like, they have
condoms.
They do.
It just sounds like they're doing nothing to prevent it.
Right. I just feel like having a lot of kids is more common back then.
True. Very true. So now they're up to 4 children, which, again, you're right, is probably not that high of a number for then, because I think a lot of us have, like, when we look at our aunts and uncles and our grandparents, they all have 4 or more siblings, I think. Yeah. Or 2 or more, I mean. So they have this other child. They do manage to stay together for, like, actually quite a while now, about 9 years, and they're not doing too bad. Until Marianne comes forward in 2008 saying he has been assaulting her this entire time and she wants to leave him and obtain a peace order so that he can no longer bother her. And again, we talked about it before. It's like a protection order.
Yeah, it's like a restraining order.
Keeps someone away from you or sets a boundary that you hope they respect because there's now a legal consequence. Doesn't actually keep them away from you.
Of course, in Canada, we call a restraining order a peace bond.
Right? There's, like, nothing negative about it. It's like, oh,
of course.
Let's put a pretty little ribbon around it before we send it out to the public. Thank you, Canadian government. I mean, thank you for a lot that you do, but, like, come on. You could do better. Marianne also claims that... Or, sorry. I keep getting them mixed up now. Barutsky claims that everything Marianne said is totally to diminish his character, ruin his, like, potential visits with his kids in the future, things like that. It's to distance him from the family, and it's all lies. She just doesn't want him in her life.
Sure.
Sure. Right? Like, look at the track record, buddy. That's not the case. Their kids later say, though, when they get older, as you'll see events continue for a while, that they remember, like, yelling, screaming, hitting, punching, and, like, a lot of hair pulling, which I just think, like, I think we've all seen in, like, a show or movie where, like, a woman goes to walk away and someone grabs her hair. That, to me, is just, like, one of the most demeaning things, and it just, I don't know why. If someone I trust grabs me from behind in my hair, it's like, there's no reason you do that but to hurt me.
Yeah.
Or to get me in a vulnerable position. It's fucked up. Huh. 2009 New Year's Eve. He is pulled over for drinking and driving. At this time, he declines to take a breathalyzer. Now, at the time, it was completely illegal to decline any type of breathalyzer or roadside test. So he's immediately charged.
I'm pretty sure it's still illegal.
I think it is, but I know that
sufficient cause to ask you to take one and you refuse to, I'm pretty sure that they can just charge you.
Yeah, and I think, though, if you can decline a breathalyzer just for, like, health or religious reasons, whatever, like, I don't think they can deny you that, but then you would have to do, like, a physical test or, like, the other stuff, or maybe submit to a blood test.
Yeah.
So.
Something.
It's important to note that in every charge so far, he has also represented himself. Yeah, he's like Mr. Barutsky, public defender for himself.
I'm wondering if a lot of these are dropped, though, because she chooses to drop them as well.
That's what I felt like, because they continually get back together and that is their cycle. So I think that it is just what happens. Like, I think she just... maybe doesn't follow through with it. Not even that she tries to drop it. She just doesn't take it any further. Yeah. And then finally they're like, okay, well, we're dropping it. Like,
yeah.
Because I've heard of that happening where someone's just not as cooperative or doesn't follow through. And then the charges just get dropped organically because there isn't a case to build.
Yeah.
So between the time that he is pulled over and actually goes to court, he receives another charge for criminal harassment. He, like, can't even stay out of trouble long enough to get to a hearing. It's ridiculous. Now, those charges, though, were stayed because the Crown said that, like, there was no, like, substantial evidence to follow through with that one. So that was actually the Crown that was just like, no, that, like, we can't do that.
Sure.
So that one was just stayed. Now, living nearby in a neighboring city is Natalie Warmerdon. She lives there with her husband and her two kids, and she has one son and one daughter. She's a care nurse who travels mobily to do palliative care. Like, she's a saint. And her husband, he, like, worked for himself or something. He's not important in this story. And they actually end up splitting up in 2010. So it doesn't really matter. He's not a part of this. You can't sit with us, Frank. Natalie actually meets Barutsky because when his father needed end-of-life care, she was the nurse that was, like, designated to his dad. So when he's at, like, a very low point and feeling really emotional, he meets this kind, sweet woman who kind of just, like, swoops in and, like, provides this incredible end-of-life experience for his dad. So he just looks at her as, like, an angel, which she probably is. And she really thought he was, like, kind and sweet because, well, he was probably just depressed and didn't have it in him to be a dick.
A lot of these kind of guys are also, like, very charming.
Like, love bombing. Yeah, like, they're very good.
That's how they get you.
Shortly after they meet, just on a whim, Barutsky actually, like, gets, like, very attached to this woman. Like, very attached. Mm-hmm. And he moves into her house very quickly. So he just leaves the family, finds a new lady. They moved so fast that technically he was still married to Marianne. He hadn't even finalized his divorce. So he was just like, she sees me as this better person. I'm going to move into this life. I'm just going to be this person now. So he just wipes his hands clean and walks away from his whole life.
Don't know that it works like that, buddy.
It doesn't, but I think Marianne and the kids would have been better off if it had just stayed that way.
Sure. Yeah. You're probably not wrong.
Yeah. Once his grieving process starts to evolve and pass in the natural way for him, he starts to feel better. He begins to get heated over this divorce. He hates Marianne. He wants to just destroy her at this point. Because now it's his money, his house, his kids, it's everything. Like, it's really ending. And he is losing it. Unfortunately, Natalie ends up taking the brunt of the abuse for that, though, because she's the person right there. And he's, like, yelling at her. He's snapping at her, like, starting to become violent or, like, lunging towards her, making moves that startle her a little bit. Red flags, lady. Get out.
For sure.
Yeah. In January of 2011, Barutsky and Marianne's home, which neither of them were actually living in at the moment, just burned to the ground.
Oh.
It was an asset that was being settled in the final divorce proceedings, like all their assets being divided, and this house got burned down. So there's no one in it, so no one got hurt, but it's suspicious.
I was going to say, was it suspicious? It sounds suspicious.
When the court reviewed it, they didn't really think it was that suspicious. I guess there was, like, significant evidence to support that it truly was an accidental fire. And when they really, like, stepped back and looked at it, were like, I think even if they were suspicious of him, they were trying to award all the money to Marianne. So they could have kind of left that out and tried to just move the settlement to her. And I think not have to come forward and be like, we just don't like this guy and don't trust him. Like, it kind of was a loophole to not having the evidence against him. Right. But they really did think, for the most part, it was a completely accidental fire.
Hmm.
I think we all just think he's suspicious. And so did police at the time.
Well, so it's like, how do you have an accidental fire if nobody's living in the house?
I don't know, like a spark in the electric panel.
Yeah, I guess.
A leak, like water hits electricity. Yeah. Like, it is highly possible, and, like, most fires are completely accidental, like, I think, in the home.
Yeah, right.
So, like, candles, things like that. Like, I know no one was living there, but I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just like, you probably wouldn't have any heat on. Nobody's lighting candles. But, yeah, I guess just, like, a spark in the electrical panel or something could.
But, like, it was January of 2011 in Ontario, so it's, like, the coldest part of the year. So maybe they did have some kind of heaters in there or something to make sure the house didn't, like, get damp or mold or something. Like, I don't know, but I'm spitballing here, people. When the courts brought forward, though, that they were leaning towards giving the settlement to Marianne, she's the primary caregiver for the kids, that would have been the home she was trying to move back into, and it would be a chunk of money for her to be able to get a new home for the children, considering he had already moved away. Little does she know, though, that Barutsky had actually canceled the home insurance a few months earlier.
Oh.
And we didn't know this till after, because I thought, oh, well, that would make sense then why they don't think it's him. But she found this out after the fact when the claim was put to her, and then she went to make the claim and get the settlement from it. There was no insurance.
That's even they were more literally suspicious.
Fighting over, like, a non-existent policy, because after he's like, yeah, I canceled it.
Hmm.
It's so weird.
Interesting.
Well, I assume what happens is it cancels at, like, the end of a billing period, so it might have just canceled, right. Like, a few days earlier, but he had physically reached out to the company and canceled it, like, months earlier.
Huh. Okay.
Super weird. But, yeah. By 2011, his, like, breathalyzer case that was going on, or his, like, refusal to do a roadside test, it's dismissed as well. Not worth the time, I guess. Who knows?
Man, this guy is just skating through the law.
Skating.
He's like, just skating around. Do they just, around. Like,
not want to deal with him? Because I get that.
It's but, wild, because, like, I mean, I understand that a lot of cases do get dropped and things like that, but this many? To not well, have one like just single him and police. One stick?
Follow through with that one, at least.
It's wild.
Yeah. At this point, because he's now even more upset with Marianne, because she was going to win that money if it was available, he resorts to, like, threatening her with more violence, death threats at her home, regardless if the children could see them or hear it. And once the peace order was granted, it did make him stay away a little bit. But, like, any charges that she pressed against him in the time that he was, like, stalking her, doing all this shit to her, those charges were all stayed by the Crown again.
You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head.
It's... And this is part of the reason why I was like, I just can't believe this. Like, when I was picking this case, yeah. This is part of the reason. Because I was like, there's no way. Like, this guy has to get screwed over at the end. Like, I need him to get screwed over, and I just more needed to know.
Or, like, just somebody to hold him accountable for something.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps getting away with the behavior, and he's never going to stop.
100%. He's just learned how to work the system.
Yeah, like, at this point, he probably just, like, laughs at her.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? She has no power in this situation.
Yeah. Like, and he knows it.
Like, the mother of her children.
It almost probably makes it worse. Tormenting her. That he continues to get away with it because he feels he has all this power.
Well, how can she ever trust that she's going to be protected if she's getting this peace order? And it kind of works, but she knows the second it's over, like, if it's a year long, he's going to be there, like, that when that year is up.
Yeah.
Like, she just knows. So it's like, it's this scary poor woman.
That she can't, she has nothing she can rely on.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Marianne does take him to court again, because what she's saying in the process of the finalizing of their divorce, when they're allocating the funds that they're having, and he's saying, like, he would still like to be in control of more of their money, it's his kids, blah blah blah, he essentially says that, like, her ability to manage money is, like, so bad, and her own mental health, like, doesn't allow her to, like, be honest, and she can manipulate the justice system in her favor.
I don't know about that.
He also said that the last time she charged him, because she brings forth that evidence to support, like, he's lying, he does shit to me all the time, he's like, those were self-inflicted. Like, look at the record you have with this woman.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Or just
in general.
Either way, finally, Marianne gets a bit of a win here, and she's technically awarded $92,000. Okay. Because of all the shit she's been through, the $20,000 insurance for the home. Like, it's added up to this accumulative huge value because he has put her through hell.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
July 27th of 2012, Berutsky really just decides to start taking out excessive physical violence on Natalie and begins assaulting her on a regular basis. He then threatens to kill the family dog and to skin her son. Yep. And then he says, and along with that, I'd like to kill my ex-wife.
Okay. That's terrifying.
Yeah. She obviously reports this, and while he's being detained, he assaults an officer. Like,
let me guess. The charges are stayed.
Well, he actually, he pleads guilty to this. I think this one he knows that he, like, can't get out of, because
sure.
Along with that, he also urinated all over the carpeted holding cell he was in, because it was more like an interrogation room style. And he decided it would just be a good idea to piss all over it and, like, destroy the flooring. So I think he really knew that he had fucked up after that.
Okay. Yeah. This guy is something else.
So he pleads guilty to assaulting an officer, the urinating, and just, like, destroying property.
So, like, all the things that he was actually seen doing by law enforcement?
But he denies pleading guilty to assaulting Natalie.
Of course.
And the Crown decides to just take that as a win and lets it go. Like, they got 2 out of the 3 charges. That's a win, right? No.
No.
He is not being held accountable for the cycle that he is repeating with these innocent women.
100%.
It's disgusting. This loser represents himself and gets away with all this shit.
That's the wildest part. It's not even like he has
a phenomenal lawyer that's handling this for him. It's just...
He must be real charming. And, like, a real manipulative, good at lying.
Yeah, and he was. And, like you said, it was mentioned that as an adult, he was a charmer. He could really be like, oh, yeah. I'm so sweet. Look who I am. And then be like, bam. Yeah. So... And remember, all the kids when he was young said, like, he's gonna snap. And unfortunately, he became a person, I think, that snapped very often.
Yeah.
Berutsky is sentenced to 150 days, but because of the time he was, like, held, waited for his trial, was detained, he had already served technically 117 of those days. So he serves another 33 days, and then he's free.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, he has to take a, like, violence and anger management course, as well as he gets 2 years probation.
Okay.
Big whoop. Natalie at this point begins to carry protection with her at all times because she knows he's been released and she does not believe that anyone else is looking out for her because she knows that he's going to attack her when she is completely alone and defenseless.
Smart girl.
Yep. Natalie had also discussed this with police, and they did actually provide her with, like, a panic button that she could have, kind of like a life alert. So at least she has a direct line to the police to speed up the reaction time, which I thought was great. Again, though, I don't think that's ever going to be fast enough.
No, but it's an interesting tactic.
Yeah, and, like, imagine you just have to, like, hit it through your shirt or something. Even if he does end up hurting her, police know to go there right away and may be able to catch him very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. A way better chance of catching him, for sure.
Yeah. In this interim where Natalie wants nothing to do with him, she's busy backing into every parking spot so she can get out of places fast because she doesn't trust anyone around her. Berutsky's just living his life. And he goes on to meet another woman.
Oh, my.
He meets at his local bar that he goes to all the time, a local realtor named Anastasia Kuzik. She actually, this is so weird. He keeps meeting women through his dad dying because he had to sell his dad's house.
Right.
So when he met her at the bar, they kind of become friends and he actually just asks her to be his realtor at first. But they speak all the time. They frequently end up going to the bar for drinks together now. And they're, like, great friends, so to speak.
Even that seems like such a manipulative way to meet women to me. Like,
it is.
Yeah.
Like, he just striked at a moment where it's like, that's her commission or her paycheck. Like, that's her livelihood. The other one is, like, that's her career. That's also her livelihood. Like,
well, and he comes off as, like, the sad son who just lost his dad and, like,
needs... He preys on them.
Yeah, 100%. I believe he does.
Yeah, and also, I could have never imagined as a normal human being when, like, I had someone in my family going through palliative care being like, oh, hey, nurse. Like, yeah. No. That's just not the place you're in at that moment.
Nope. Not usually.
No.
Not twice, anyways.
No. When she doesn't hear from him all of a sudden, she thinks it's really weird. But when he finally reaches out to her again, he comes clean that it was, like, the 150 days he had to spend in prison. So he just, like, fell off the face of the planet. She was like, oh my god, where'd you go? I thought you were, like, friend-zoning me.
For kind of 5 months?
Yeah. And then he's just like, hey girl, hey, sorry, I was locked up. Why? I peed in public. Like, knowing him, he would lie and say some shit like that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wild.
Yeah. Clearly, Berutsky has no problem socializing, interacting with women, meeting people in public, and he ends up offering his services to, like, local residents as a handyman, because he's quite good at that stuff. And through this, he meets another woman named Carol Cullerton, who, she, like, lives in a little neighboring town about 2 hours away, but she has a cottage in the town where he lives, so they, like, just cross paths naturally. And he was like, well, 2 hours isn't that far if, like, the work is worth it. So, like, what do you got kind of thing? So when they go and see the cabin in the summer, they, like, hit it off, start hanging out. Like, his normal routine. He woos her. And she just really enjoys their time. And, like, by the next summer, they're dating already. So, like, he's continuously, like, doing work for her throughout the year, over the fall, stuff like that, and then they start dating.
This guy's busy.
Very. Berutsky was living near an old junkyard where he would, like, scavenge around for different tools and things that he could use for his handyman job, because there was, like, a lot of old tools thrown away into junkyards a lot of the time. And when he was, like, looking through, like, car trunks and totes and all these things, he finds a really old shotgun. And he actually manages to find another box near it where there's, like, ammunition for said gun. Like, clearly someone had dumped this whole thing. And he could tell the containers matched, so he was able to find this. So even though he was on probation and couldn't go purchase a weapon of his own, he now has obtained a weapon that he hides wherever he needs to near his trailer or in his trailer to make sure that it's not found if he ever gets a probation check. But he's really just doing his own thing. Now he owns a weapon.
Good.
Yeah, it's great. So Anastasia, in the meantime, has dated another gentleman. Seemed like she was moving on with her life, and we were very happy for her that she was eliminating herself from this situation.
Absolutely.
Said relationship starts failing. So Berutsky sees a moment of weakness in her life, and he decides that, you know, he's not spending all his time with Carol, so when he's not there and he's home, he's going to try and get with her by leaning into this and pulling back from Carol at the same time. So he's just swapping women out.
This guy's a pig.
He is, and he doesn't get... Well, we'll get to it, but up until now, nothing has stuck, and that's so freaking annoying.
Yeah.
Like, we can see how horrible of a human being he is. Can we not make something to hold him accountable? Maybe don't charge him with something as severe, but let's hold him for longer. Let's keep him behind bars. Let's make him take more courses. I don't know.
Something.
Do better, though.
He has slipped through literally every crack.
Every crack.
Every single one.
It won't be for too long. Like, there is a little bit of accountability held soon, you'll see. So Anastasia says that things just, like, kind of started to go too far with Berutsky. Like, she thought he was just there to support her, but, like, they would sit and, like, drink and talk at night, and, like, he would seem like he was supporting her, but then he would kind of, like, take it too far. He would start to, like, make moves on her and kind of, like, force her to enjoy it. He was strictly just there for himself. He didn't give a shit about her.
Sounds about right for him. Yeah.
Yeah. In December of 2013 and January of 2014, he gets an additional 2 charges for assaulting and, like, destroying property. So he's at someone's home, they won't answer the door, or they do eventually, and then gets pissed and breaks property of theirs. Guy is still a piece of shit. He's not changing. Notebook's too low. Shortly after this, Barutsky does steal a car to use as well. Nothing really ever comes of that. I didn't even hear if the charges were dropped. I think it just probably got lumped into everything else happening at this time. Because, like, I don't know what...
Like, of course he stole a car. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
This is wild.
I know. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So in the combined 2013-2014 assault charge, he says that this beating was due to other women who burned him.
Oh, for the love.
Yeah. It's going to get a little worse before it gets a lot better, so. He also, other people who testified in trial said that he had heard him verbally say, "I really would love to kill Natalie. I'm thinking of killing Natalie. I've had dreams of killing Natalie." So he's now, every woman that he's ever interacted with is being put on this list.
Right. Okay, he's threatening to kill them all at this point.
All of them, yeah. Because of these, he ends up spending 160 days in custody, but in December of 2014, he's just released again. Okay, go. At this point, he reaches out to Carol to see if he can do some repairs for her, spend time with her, and make some money. She hesitantly agrees, but she really wants a deck built on her cottage, so she's like, okay, fine.
Sure.
He then starts showing up at her house, which is actually, like, back 2 hours away.
Right.
So he, when she would leave the cottage, he would, like, follow her home to that place.
Don't love that. Mm-hmm.
He would call her nonstop. He would text her nonstop. And this was for, like, over 3 months that this was happening. And because there was nothing, like, violent about it, and I think everything that was saying were, like, the texts were just, like, very cordial still. Like, he wasn't being horrible. So she was fine with it for quite a while, but eventually she starts to get, like, excessively uncomfortable when he is, like, continually showing up at her house, which is really far away, and not just, like, here and there.
Yeah.
She then notices that he is, like, severely delaying work projects so that he can stay longer at the cottage because he's, like, making a point of being there all day and almost, like, staying at the cottage, and she might not know most of the time. So... Right. He's just, like, half-assing this project. It's taking forever. And
he's,
like,
pretending to do it so he can squat there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so one night she's, like, drinking with a friend of hers, and he's there, but, like, the friend leaves, so they're kind of sitting drinking, just the two of them. And this is where, like, she feels like she was just nice to him and polite to him, and he says that she gave mixed signals, and he's, like, so upset with her that he runs outside and he destroys her garden that she's, like, put so much time and energy into just because he thinks she's giving mixed signals. Carol decides mentally, like, this is enough. I'm moving on with my life. She's recently been talking to a man, and she decides to begin dating him because... screw it. She's not going to let Barutsky run her life.
Yeah, because this guy's awful and unstable.
Yeah, and he was just the handyman. Like, you dated, but he was your handyman more than anything.
Right.
Who's now been in prison and has come out, and you've still let him work on your home, which is totally fine if you trust him.
Yeah.
But maybe you wouldn't think of dating him again.
Sure.
So So Carol retires shortly after this, and she's out celebrating with her new boo and her friends from work, her colleagues that are just giving her this beautiful send-off because they're all, like, think Carol's just the shit. She's great. She's lovely. She's kind. But all the people at the group notice that her phone is going off constantly.
Right.
He's sending text after text after text being like, I'm worried about you. Tell me you're okay. Are you okay? Let me know you're okay. So he's coming at it from like a super manipulative place too, trying to get her to feel like she needs to reply. And he says like, one of the messages, he like signs it off with something that's like, my soulmate connection tells me something's wrong.
Your soulmate connection? You have like four soulmates at this point.
You don't have a soul, sir.
No.
So it can't have a mate.
That too.
By September 20th of 2015, Carol decides she needs to just nip this in the bud. And she says in a text, like, thank you. You've been a great friend. But I've recently, like, a friend of mine and I have started dating. Please don't bother me.
Also, like, good for Carol, because you know she didn't want to say you've been a great friend. She just was like...
No, she was just like...
trying to be nice and get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He immediately replies with, which friend? Clearly booze is clouding your judgment. It's horrible.
No.
And then he says, talk to me. You owe me that much. Like, these are just his berate of texts. And he continues to text things along those lines. And again, Carol just says, please stop.
Yeah, we're up to the whys. You don't owe anybody anything.
Block.
No matter what they tell you, you owe nobody any explanation, nothing whatsoever. Move along. Yeah. I feel like it took me a long time to, like, realize that you actually don't owe anybody anything.
I think I'm, like, still figuring it out a bit, and I think you always are, but yeah, it took me till I was probably, like, 30 to be like, oh, I don't have to do anything everyone wants me to. I don't have to go to something if I don't want to be there.
Nope. And you don't have to have an excuse. You don't need a reason. You Why? Can literally I just say no. I don't want to. Yep.
So, sorry, these texts were coming in September 20th, just a reminder of the date.
Okay.
September 20th. 22nd of 2015, this dipshit leaves his house in a camouflage outfit with his shotgun that he found in the junkyard and the ammunition it contained, and a borrowed car. He borrowed a car from his friend.
I don't know why a camouflage outfit makes me laugh. I just...
Well, it's like that... That stands out more in public. Like, what do you think you're
blending into?
Like, if you're just going to be out in town, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Like, are you going into the woods? Like, I don't know. I don't know why that made me just, like, kind of chuckle, but...
Well, I mean, I guess he was going to Carol's cottage, so I guess it was kind of woodsy, but he had more plans after that were very city, so I don't think he thought, like, big picture.
Sounds so dumb. He put on a camouflaged outfit. Like, okay, cool.
Do you want to hear what's even dumber?
Did you hide?
He was supposed to get gas before these attacks. And he forgot to. So the car actually runs out of gas at Carol's cottage.
Oh, good.
And he's just like, fuck it, I'll just leave it here. I'll just take Carol's car. So he got the car to the cottage, and it just, like, peters out on him. It's just like... So he ditches the car... But as he's doing this whole process, because I think the car is kind of, like, guttering, Carol actually sees him, like, coming. So she, like, kind of comes outside at first to be like, oh, hey, who's here? And she's like, oh, shit, it's you. Shuts the door, gets back in the house. He breaks the window, opens the cottage up to gain full access. He then... And I'm not sure if he brought it or it was already there. I assume it was already there, based on context that I read. But he grabs a piece of coax cable.
Okay.
He whips her with it first.
Ouch.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know what coax cable is, it's like the metal cable that screws into your wall.
Yeah, it's probably from, like, your wall to your TV or a cable box, internet modem, but it's, like, a very, like, half-inch heavy-duty, like, metal-tipped
I was going to say, it's pretty heavy and it's metal tipped. Like, yeah, it'll screw into the back of your cable box if you still have cable, anything like that, or like your internet should have a coax cable from the box to the wall.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked at how many people move in somewhere that already just has the stuff set up and they actually don't know that that's called a coax cable.
Yeah, so it's pretty heavy and yeah, it has a pretty hard like metal and then also like kind of pointy end on it.
Yeah, almost like a metal fiber sticking out that's quite aggressive.
Yeah, like it would hurt.
It would. Well, and again, he then strangled her with it and it's not something that I think that you could pull away from your skin once it was too close based on the texture of it. Nor do I think it's something, well, we know it's not something you could break by hand, so.
Yeah.
It would have just been in her best interest to try to get away as opposed to breaking the cable. Barutsky ends up having a few cigarettes and leaving Butts with DNA on site. Because he's also a terrible criminal, thank God, so we can track him through all this.
That's why I'm, like, so shocked he's made it this far. He really isn't a great criminal.
Well, I think fortunately no one was expecting him to do this on this day, and, you know, he was wearing camo. But also, like, the cottage is out of the way, so, like, at this point there was no reason for anyone to really have known what was going on.
Well, nobody can see him.
Right?
I gotta stop with the camo jokes, but I just can't.
Yeah, everyone out there who has a family member, their boyfriend, a friend, or just have, you know, been on Instagram and have seen a man in camo, you know what we're talking about.
I think it's the context of...
That's what I mean. Like, if he was to just be like, oh, I need to run into, like, town before I go hunting, that man would stick out like a sore thumb in the grocery store.
Yeah, it's just the context of it. Like, oh, I'm going to hide in camo. Like, oh, no. No, no.
Barutsky decides to take Carol's phone as well as her car at this point, and he has about a 30-kilometer trek to make because he's next going to Anastasia's house.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's making the rounds.
Yeah.
Don't love that.
So she's living in a family home, and she's upstairs doing some house cleaning, making beds, just like general tidying of a bedroom, when she hears her sister yelling to get her attention to come downstairs. She says there's a man on the porch and he has a gun. Anastasia comes down. He can see her through the window and he fires through her, killing her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like it's rare for somebody to use multiple methods.
Yeah, I think the coax was just a product of convenience, to be honest. And I think the gun was the planned intent all along. I wonder if her seeing him created more of, like, a panicked situation so he couldn't be so, like, controlled with the gun.
Right.
I don't know. That was just my kind of inkling.
Okay.
Her little sister, Eva, calls 911 and immediately reports the interaction. But as soon as he's shot that gun off and knows that he's hit Anastasia... He's immediately off to Natalie's house. Natalie lives at 3595 Foymont Road, and she is there with her son in the living room, and she's just leaving the room, and she hears her son scream. Her son, Adrian, had got up and run to hide in a bush outside because, again, he had overheard these threats about hurting him as well, and he just takes off. Now... He says that as he's leaving, he does hear a gunshot. He stayed in the bush for an hour and a half before any first responders or emergency services showed up.
Wow.
Now, part of this is because of the remoteness, like in just where she is located to the nearest station. But I also wonder why this took so long. Because it's not that far.
Did anyone call or did she press her, like, button?
She doesn't have the button. Marianne does.
So how would they have known then, I guess?
Someone called and reported hearing gunshots.
Oh.
So, like, if you hear a gun going off, wouldn't you go out there quickly?
Yeah.
But. Immediately after that gunshot's fired, he takes off again. He now drives almost 100 kilometers to make one more kill And I'm sure you can imagine who it is.
Yep.
Police have now put the pieces together that it's him because of just the women, the connection. They figured it out pretty quickly. They immediately call Marianne and are like, get yourself somewhere safe. He's loose. He has hurt other women today. And they actually make contact with her physically and put her in hiding in time.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, like, again, they're just being really proactive because of their history. And, like, they're pretty sure that he could be coming this way. But because of the 100-kilometer distance, it would take quite a while. So they're now, like, we're just going to hide you away and be extra cautious. Barutsky ditches the car that he had taken in Kinburg along the way. And police are able to, like, in the meantime, while he's commuting, reach out to his brother and get some additional information. They have, like, extensive conversations with his brother about how they want him to text with him and try to convince him to come in, how to attract him to doing the right thing, as well as just even giving a location to where he is so police could go and get him.
Yeah.
Finally, Barutsky kind of just comes to his senses through all this after talking with his brother, and he surrenders.
Huh.
He then decides to just tell police where the gun is and actually leads them to the gun to show the murder weapon. I think he just knows that, like, the jig is up. Like, you're not... There's nothing more you can do at this point.
Yeah.
Especially if he knows that they have Marianne in hiding. Like, where are you going? There's no end game anymore.
Yeah.
Upon questioning with the OPP and the behavioral analysis unit within their team, he's interviewed for 5 hours total. And, like, he's pretty casual through the interview. He's eating Tim Hortons. He's hanging out. He's just chatting. Suddenly, he becomes, like, super angry and agitated. So they're seeing these, like, ups and downs in him all of a sudden. And they're like, okay, we're seeing what these women have been saying. And how you can be this charming man sitting having a coffee to this monster. Barutsky adamantly, throughout this questioning, says, it was all the women's fault. I don't know why you're not believing me. The women are doing this. This isn't me. It's disgusting. He is totally pushing blame on them.
We're not believing you because they're the ones that are dead.
Right?
Like, they didn't do anything to you, bro.
Nothing. They didn't collude together to be like, hey, let's get murdered. No. You chose to do that. You ruined their lives. You were trying to take away your kid's mother. Adrian doesn't have his mom anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like
Eva had to watch her sister get murdered in front of her.
Yeah, that excuse is long...
Long gone.
It's long gone.
This time when he goes to trial, it is mandated that he has a public defender. They don't believe he's equipped to support himself through this, which he is not. It's a triple murder at this point.
I would have just let him defend himself.
I would have too. But I guess the court's kind of like, this guy is useless, and he's trying to represent himself once again. And it's like, why are you saying he's useless? You dropped all those charges.
Touché.
But at least this is where we're about to wrap up and some justice is served, finally. After all the trial information is released to the jury has sentenced him to first-degree murder, guilty, for both women he shot. A second-degree murder, guilty, for Carol.
Yeah, now, interesting.
He did say that when he first went to the cabin before he, like, snapped, really, he was just going to talk to Carol. He was just going to see her. Now, granted, because it wasn't the gun, maybe he said the gun was in the car. Like, he could have portrayed it as he did go in there to talk, and it turned into a violent interaction.
Yeah, which would make it second-degree murder if they can't prove pre-planning. But I think, then having the gun and, like, physically driving to the other woman's house with the gun is kind of, like, immediate evidence of pre-planning.
Exactly.
And the pre-planning also doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be like you plan it over days. Yeah, it could be 30 seconds.
But... it just has to be where you had a moment to go, no, that's not a good idea, and change your mind. And if you still made the choice to follow through, well, then you planned it. You wanted to do it.
Yeah.
December 6th of 2017, this asshole is finally sentenced to life without parole for 70 years.
Oh, so they stacked them.
They stacked them because they're nice. Like, screw this. This guy, look at all the history.
Right, so it would have been 25, 25, and 20. 20.
Yeah. So they even maxed out the second degree at 20. Because normally we see 18. Yeah. Or even 15. And so they really went hard at him, and I love that.
Yeah.
It's almost like they knew it was like a first degree charge but couldn't quite prove it. So they were like, well, let's just max out the second. Who cares?
Yeah.
So we know this isn't going to happen, but he will be eligible for parole when he is 128 years old.
Yeah. So
somehow
it's
I don't
sentence.
Think he's going to defend himself well at that age.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he's never defended himself well anyway, clearly.
I don't think any appeals will go that well either.
No. So he is going to die in prison. We don't have to worry about him anymore. I think that saved many women, but more women were hurt than needed to be. More people were hurt than needed to be at his expense because our justice system didn't just see a pattern and decide to take it into their own hands.
I was going to say, it's not like there weren't chances.
No, they just chose to not take the opportunities to hold him accountable.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. And, like, super sad. Three women died.
Three women in rapid succession. Just
asshole. And like you said, I feel like this could have been avoided, you know?
Oh, multiple times.
Yeah.
How many times did he abuse Marianne? Yeah. And then he even starts to abuse Natalie, like... there was no period where he wasn't abusing someone if he wasn't getting what he wanted.
And, like, it was being reported. That's the saddest part, I think, for me, is that, like, it's not like the women weren't trying and weren't reporting it.
Well, that's why, like, even saying, like, they didn't even take it into their own hands.
Yeah.
At a certain point, like, why would you not just say, like, okay, Marianne, you're clearly not following through with this, but we see the pattern and we see the danger. We're going to action something against him.
100%. And, like, they can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. That's just what bothered me so much about this was the lack of, like, trying to fix it or make it better. It just seems lazy. And at first you want to say it's, like, the time or when it happened, but it's, like, no, this happened from, like, the late 80s all the way into the 2000s.
I was going to say, in the 80s it was, like, okay, but now we're in, like, 2012, 2015. Like, come on.
Like, it's just, no, we need to do better.
Such a long time to be able to terrorize women with absolutely no repercussions.
Well, like, also such a long time to, like, build a history of what you do. So, like, to support charging you. Why was nothing ever done?
And I think, too, it's, like, no wonder women don't bother reporting violence. Like, people always say, oh, why didn't she report it? It's, like, because you do, and then nothing happens, and then it's just worse.
Yeah, then you're because just, like, you this reported. Martyr because you've done it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, definitely a tale of, like, what needs to change. And I know that our justice system is always evolving, especially when it comes to our understanding of domestic violence and things like that, but
yeah, but we can always do better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my case.
Wild.
Yeah, it was more than I expected when I first started reading it, and I was like, oh, this seems really interesting. I'm gonna cover this just so I can dig into it. And, like,
and then you're like, whoa, another victim and another one and another one.
Well, at first I was like, he had another kid and another kid and another kid and another charge and another charge and another it just kept going and going, and I was like,
not to mention I googled this guy and, like, how did he get this many women?
Like, he's not attractive. That's why he must just be a charmer.
And, like, of varying ages.
Yeah.
Like, Anastasia was like 36.
And she's beautiful.
Natalie was 48 and Carol was 66. Like, how did you...
Yeah, Carol was a widower.
How did you pull this many women?
Like, part of the reason he was doing this work for her is because her husband was no longer in the picture.
Yeah.
He had passed away, so she was looking for someone to come do some physical labor.
Yeah, like, he's not a good-looking guy.
No.
Huh. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. That's, well, Boris Berutsky.
Basil Berutsky?
Basil Berutsky, sorry. I just didn't say his first name the whole time, and it just completely changed to Boris.
That's fair. You know, we can call him Boris also, instead. I don't mind.
Basil or Basil? It's that's too cute of a name for this man.
Well, like,
that's like a sweet old man name.
I support not not calling murderers by their actual preferred name. Boris it is.
Agreed. Boris, see you never.
Well, we may have been late, but we made it, and with a bang. That was a very interesting case.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah. But we will see you next week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast by Proxy. Send us a Gmail, podcastbyproxy@gmail.com. Case suggestions, yada, yada, yada. Like, 5-star rating and review. All the above. You know the drill. Do all the things. And we will see you very soon.
Bye.
Bye. I'll call you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
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 How do I stop this shit?
I'll stop it.
Okay. Fucking.